Kia ora, I'm Andrew Whiteside, and today I'm talking with Lolsey Byrne, who is an Irish comedian who's been stranded in New Zealand for the past year, thanks to COVID-19. In this interview, we talk about what she's been doing while she's been here, how she was stalked by a man, and everything else that's going on in her life. Lolsey Byrne, lovely to meet you on this freezing, wet Auckland day.
Absolutely. It's very changeable here, isn't it?
It can be this time of year, yeah. Now, the first question I wanted to ask you was, is Lolsey your real first name?
No.
Because I wondered, LOL in a comedian's name was just too coincidental.
Well, do you know what? That I didn't choose it because of that. It's a nickname that my parents gave to me as a kid. People have called me that the whole way through school. And then it just fit in better. I think... I had an incident a few years ago where someone using my real name flew from America to Ireland, came to my job that I worked in and convinced my boss that he was an old friend who needed to get in touch with me very quickly because an emergency had happened. And of course, my boss was like, well, yeah, of course. And turned out he's just a creepy fan.
A stalker.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, you got to separate the real from the what you portray out into the public. But I rarely answer to... I've got
I won't ask what, in case of the stalker listening, I won't let that
out. I'm watching you.
So, because of COVID, you've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Longer than you planned to be.
Yeah. It's I initially came over to do the Dunedin Fringe, and then I think the plan was kind of just to bounce around, see mostly the South Island. I landed in Queenstown first to visit a friend who moved out here ages ago. And then while I was in Queenstown, apocalypse now, you know, like, so my original plan was to go home in by at least July to celebrate my 30th birthday and then do the Edinburgh Fringe. Then when all the flights started being cancelled, I was like, no, I'm literally stuck here. There's no, and I was onto embassies and stuff. And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, why don't I embrace this? I have my working visa. Why not?
And we have electricity here and Netflix.
Exactly.
So you were rescued by cousins, family cousins.
Yeah.
And so you were just before the interview saying, so you've got work other than gigging.
Yes. Comedy really pays the bills, you know.
So it's been quite an interesting experience for you. And I know you were saying that you found the comedy community really embracing and supportive.
Oh, it's an absolute dream. My first... So I'd done a couple of open mics, and I knew coming over here I don't have a following. Back home, maybe in America, but I know over here nothing. And it was the most refreshing thing ever because it meant I had to start from scratch and really look at my joke writing and go, what is funny here? Not what can you just go off your name and smash it or stuff like that. So I really had to go back to the drawing board, started with like open mics and stuff. And then I remember my first gig in the Classic, and I was really, really nervous because, say, big gigs back home, everyone could be like nearly seeing you as competition sometimes. The green room can be a little bit like tense. And the second I walked in, two amazing comedians, Bridget and Sarah, were just like, hey, nice to meet you, come here, sit down, tell us about yourself. And I was like, oh, friends, you know. So this comedy scene is a dream. Like, it's the most embracing, encouraging scene to be in, and everyone is just so, so lovely.
So your show is End of Days, and reading the blurb, it's about you thought the world was going to end in 2012.
Yeah.
What was that about? What was happening in 2012 for you?
In 2012, it was, I always call it my year of endings because different transitions in my life and education and different things like that, but I was like very overactive imagination as a child, you know. And I'd seen a documentary like as a child about the end of the world happening in 2012, and it always sat with me.
Is that Mayan calendar?
Calendar, yeah. Because I'd heard whispers about it and being like, oh, yeah, whatever, 20. And then it was like, no, the reason why is because the Mayan calendar is ending. And I was going, and even like you'd watch like Nostradamus conspiracy type things, and you'd laugh at them. They're like, they thought this was going to happen. But always it kind of sat in the back. I thought, do you know what I thought was going to do it? The Large Hadron Collider. I was convinced, like, that was 2009 or something. They were like, we're going to fire it up today. And I was like, just maybe don't. Just give it a while. you don't know what you're getting into there, lads.
Are you a conspiracy theorist, or you've just got a vivid imagination?
Just a vivid imagination, yeah. No,
which is great for comedy.
Good for comedy, less for anxiety, I think, you know. I'm definitely a catastrophizer, like, you know.
Yeah, it's good. Well, the thing is, we're living, I think human history, there's always been shit going on, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But we seem to be going through a period of time that's really, on one level, really fascinating, but on another level, really scary. And because of social media and 24-hour news, we're just bombarded with it.
Yeah.
Constantly. So I think that it does create anxiety.
Yeah, it is. And it's like misinformation as well. Like, you know, because we have so much access, and, you know, it's that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. There's so much little mm-hmm. knowledge. And it's...
And blatant lies, though, too.
You know,
that's the thing.
It's, absolutely. Yeah, so. I saw an amazing meme today where it was like a pyramid, and it was like high school diploma, associate's degree, bachelor's, master's, PhD, and then like this tiny thing at the top of the pyramid was like Facebook post from a friend with no qualifications.
Yeah. So what do you think of social media? You've got quite a few followers on Twitter, over 20, almost 30,000, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't check too often. It's like I post the jokes and then I leave. Do you know, it's helped me an awful lot.
Yeah.
But there are times I wish I could just close down all my accounts and just...
So what's that about? Just all the barrage of news? I mean, do you get trolled at all? Or?
A little bit. You get the odd people who are... Like, you'll look and their account is completely blank and it was created yesterday and they're just sending you abuse.
But That's me, by the way.
Damn it.
Damn you, Lolzy. Come on my show.
But there's also, I can't remember the actual name for it, but is it like a parasocial relationship? People feel like they know you on a really intimate level. Mm. There's a lot of creeps online. The way I combat that is I live with a gorgeous cat called Marlo who likes to sit on my lap when I'm on the toilet.
You've been teaching him Irish, haven't
I have
you?
Been teaching him, yeah. He's Mon Vukel, very good, on a wire fod. But yeah, he likes to sit on my lap when I'm on the loo. So I just put pictures of that up and people are like, ew! I'm like, yes, turning them away, changing their minds.
Gosh, that's funny, isn't it? Yeah, so he's a lovely cat. It's unusual though to sit on the toilet, but he just wants some company.
Want some company, bit of warmth. I think.
Well, you know, when you meet someone, you're developing a relationship, and you know you've reached a milestone when you can fart in their presence.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, you can get out of bed and look at absolute fright and all of that. So yeah. You know, you've got very quickly to that relationship.
Yeah,
with
we
the cat.
Really do. Yeah, we've bonded. When I first arrived, my fano were like, don't touch the cat. Like, don't, he's a savage. He'll kill you. He will absolutely, like, show me their scars. Like, they were like, oh, we used to offer $100 to anyone who could hold him for more than 30 seconds. And, like, 10 minutes later, I was like, my baby. You know, just like.
Have you ever had a really awful moment on stage, somewhere where you either bombed or it was just like, oh, my God, this isn't working? What was your kind of.
Oh, I've had a few of them. It's hard to pinpoint one because, you know, like. I think you always want to put your best face forward and tell everyone about your best gigs. But like everyone has bad gigs. Everyone has shockingly bad gigs. Like, you know, I've gone on and forgotten material. I've been like hyper nervous to the point of puking. Like I've done a couple of college gigs that were like carnage.
And so what got you into it? Why did you want to do this?
I've always loved comedy. Like, growing up, I was sat in front of the telly watching Billy Connolly and the Two Ronnies Norman Wisdom, things like that. I always liked making people laugh. And I was very, you know, like they go, were you the class clown? Absolutely not. Goody two-shoes the whole way.
Wow.
But if someone was having a crisis, I would, like, throw myself on the ground just to make them laugh. Yeah. You know, laughter is the thing I wanted to get from people. And I went to university and joined the drama society writing plays. And the odd time I'm a terrible actor, but I'm so crap. Like, but I'd get comedy roles and my notes would always be like, stop fishing for laughs. And then someone was doing I'd written comedy sets myself, like written them, but like, and I'll put them away and no one will ever see them again. Like, someone was doing like a charity comedy night and I was like, can I have a go? And instantly hooked. Just the idea of it's performance and it's something you've written yourself, and you're kind of a, you know, a hyper version of yourself on stage. You know, people, like, the amount of people I meet and they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a comedian. They go, ugh, really? No, not you.
Oh, really?
But yeah, they just...
So they just can't believe that you...
Yeah, I don't think I give out a very, you know, funny ambience. I don't know. Yeah, no. I don't know.
No, you don't.
But yeah, it's just, just to make people laugh. My mom always said, if you can be the one smile in someone's crappy day, you've done your job properly. So... I really like that.
That was the lovely Lolzie Byrne talking about her new show and also a little bit about her life. Now, don't forget, you can visit my website, andrewwhiteside.com, for lots more interviews, entertainment news, events, and plenty of my own opinion. While there, you can also sign up for my newsletter, which comes out weekly, fortnightly, and monthly. I'm Andrew Whiteside. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon.